This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll wrap up a lot of this inflation stuff. We'll talk about that disastrous press conference. We know whose idea it was now. The U.S. of Gay. Some startling info about that bomb, the pipe bombs in D.C. So much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get going on a little bit more of the inflation stuff, I'm taking the wife out to dinner after the show tonight. We're going to go do a late dinner. And Chris, of course, asked me, are you taking her to Red Lobster? And I said, no, I can't. And he said, why? And I said, she won't go anymore. And there's this thing, like, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Just give me a minute. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether this is a woman thing. I get the impression that it is a woman thing. You find one hair in your meal, and now the restaurant is ruined forever. I'll be honest. When I find a hair in my meal, I take it out, and I eat the rest of the meal. Is that too far? What? Is that no? What, Chris? What? Not a short and curly, Chris. I'm talking about a long one or something like that. It's I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's a hair. It's not fentanyl. You know, it's just a hair. I don't know what the big deal is. This is why she won't go back to Applebee's anymore, because at that time she got a boob in her soup. I'll never understand. I told you that story, Chris. Oh, I didn't? Oh, let me explain. Well, listen, we're in Applebee's. You know, we wanted to get something nice. And so I get the chicken fajita roll-up, as I always do, with the extra Mexi ranch, and she gets some soup. The waitress was, she's probably new, okay, it's probably new. And she was, that's the best way I can put this, family show. She was, Chris, what word do I want to use for this? Rotund? I don't know, no, she wasn't, she had a big upper body, okay, she had a larger than average upper body. Okay, whatever. She's wearing her waitress uniform. She hands me my food. She has the tray of food, but as she hands me my food, she bends over and accidentally dunks a boob in my wife's soup. And my wife was mortified. I would have ate it anyway. I mean, what's the big deal? I would have ate it willingly, happily. But she will now never go into Applebee's because of one boob. Either way, that's the story. Let's talk about inflation, and let's talk about the messaging behind the fact that your standard of living is being destroyed.
I assume these aren't the kind of numbers that you guys want to see, an increase on the monthly, annualized, and core inflation rates.
You know what? I always look at the data picture. I don't overly weight one data point, and the overall picture looks good.
What a way to spin that. Look, I'm not going to major on the minor here. We're not going to worry about things like food and energy costs. I'm more of a big picture person. And I got to tell you, on the big picture, things are looking pretty solid.
You know, the inflation has actually come down by 2/3. You know, if you look at the price of a gallon of milk, a gallon of gas, a dozen eggs, those are all down over the last year. And I expect there's some anomalies in today's report.
Of course, you have to see the big picture and don't focus on those anomalies like your rent. That's just an anomaly. Focus on the big picture stuff. Look, the truth is the Biden White House, there's no way. We can make fun of them all we want for all the spin, but there's no way to message to people who are watching their standard of living be destroyed. You can't. It's not going to land. It's not going to work. This is not going to work.
Growth is strong. Wages are rising. Inflation is down. In fact, the costs have fallen from a gallon of gas to a gallon of milk. We know prices are still too high because of what I call greedflation and shrinkflation.
It's not going to work. This, whatever this is why, kids, this is why you never focus on diversity when you hire. Only merit. Forget about the color or the sex or the religion. Only merit. When you hire for diversity, you may find yourself with a press secretary who is not good.
We've because of the president's action, he's able to lower cost at the pump. And so that's mattered as well to Americans across the country. So we're going to continue to do the work. Obviously, we understand there's more work to be done, but this is an economy that is in a much different place than it was a year ago, a much different place, obviously, than it was 3 years ago. When you see eggs and milk and products like that at the grocery store going down, they're lower than they were a year ago. That's important.
Lower than they were a year ago. Lower than they were a year ago. Notice they're all saying it now. Lower than they were a year ago. You're going to hear that word. You're going to hear that term, not that word. You're going to hear that term without end. You notice the last lady said it too. Lower than a year ago.
You know, the inflation has actually come down by 2/3. You know, if you look at the price of a gallon of milk, a gallon of gas, a dozen eggs, those are all down over the last year. And I expect...
Yeah, get ready for that. All right, let's get to some emails before we get to that disastrous White House press conference and the bomb-sniffing dog story about that January 6th pipe bomb. This story gets creepier and creepier by the day. Hi, history guru. I wasn't going to listen to this interview. He's talking about the Vladimir Putin interview until I heard Putin started with Russian history. What do you think about it? It's been a while since I read about the early years of Russia-Ukraine. It sounded like Putin was cherry-picking what it said. It also sounded like Germany and Poland worked together after World War I and during World War II. It says I can use his name. His name is Larry. Well, listen, it's all propaganda, right? Everything is simply propaganda. Vladimir Putin agreed to sit down to that interview to give his propaganda, the side that was going to make Russia look the best. We just invaded Ukraine. We're here for justified reasons. You know, that was the point in it. But there is something we should talk about. And it gets uncomfortable, but it's true. Borders change. Borders have always changed. They will always change. There's not a point in history where history starts, unless we're talking about the creation of Adam and Eve. There is no starting point of history, and there's no ending point of history either. The truth is, I am not a Vladimir Putin fan. I've admitted that many, many times. The truth is, each side has a point, usually, in a war. And we hate talking like that, especially when it's wars we're involved in, because it's essential for a nation to back itself during a war, and it's essential for a nation to hate the other side during a war. So what we do is we oversimplify everything. We're good, they're bad. That's the extent you get. We're good, they're bad. The reason it's so important to listen to the other side during a war is not so you can be more sympathetic to your enemy or something like that, so you actually can understand where they're coming from. People, both sides of every war ever, have lied. And they've lied, and they've pushed propaganda without end, and a lot of things Vladimir Putin said in that interview about the history of Russia and Poland and Ukraine and these things, a lot of those things are 1,000% true. And yes, a lot of the things he said are obviously cherry-picked. Where we get uncomfortable is when we talk about sides we don't like and understanding they have a point. This is where I actually berate people in America all the time when we talk about the Civil War. The Civil War is one of those things because we're dealing with slavery, which nobody likes, right? Slavery is awful, owning a human being, treating people like that. As soon as you incorporate slavery into it, people immediately just want to reflexively react, North good, South bad, when it comes to the Civil War. But the Civil War, like every other war in the history of man, not just America, in the history of man, was a complicated affair. And it was much more complicated than North good, South bad. I'm gonna get off the Putin stuff because there's a lot of stuff I want to get to about the Biden White House and the Tony Bobulinski stuff and this January 6th, this bomb sniffing dog and things like that. But I am just going to say once again, I understand the appeal of Vladimir Putin for a lot of people on the right. I don't share any affinity for Vladimir Putin, but we are starved for patriots to lead us. We're starved for them. We are so sick of this.
The vote we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
The truth is, much of the American right, they think Vladimir Putin would never say something like that, and that's what they find appealing. That's the truth. It doesn't matter what you think about it. We don't have any money. Anyway, all right. Let's get to the White House and that press conference and the dog, the bomb-sniffing dog. But let's first give you a little bit of relief. Relief from the aches and pains that plague you every single day. You ever had lower back pain? I used to suffer from this really, really bad when I was younger. Every now and then, I'll throw it out now. As long as I keep myself in shape, it holds up, but it'll just ache, and it gets tight, and it's miserable. You have back pain? Joints? Muscles? Neck? We need to find natural solutions for our pain that plagues us. That's what Relief Factor is, a drug-free, all-natural solution. It helps support the body's natural response to inflation rather than just dumping a painkiller into your body and liquefying your liver. They sell three-week quick start kits for $19.95. The people who order the three-week quick start kit, over 70% of them go on and order more. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com.
He doesn't care if you believe him. But he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to this January 6th bomb-sniffing dog story in a moment. But let's talk for a second about Joe Biden, Commander-in-Chief. Maybe you've heard. Maybe you've heard what he's doing.
We're changing people's lives.
Now, Joe Biden obviously is not doing well. Is that a nice way to put that? Mentally, he's not doing that great. He's not doing that great. And because he's not doing great, we fall into a little bit of a trap sometimes. I know I do. I've probably done it on the air. Maybe you have as well. We act as if because he's old and not doing well, obviously the dementia is getting really, really bad. He can't think. He can't talk. We act as if he's not in control of anything. And look, he's not in control of most things. It's the filthy communists he surrounds himself with who are really, for the most part,
running the country. It's the Susan Rice, Victoria Nunes. These are the people who are destroying America behind the scenes, the puppet masters, if you will. But Joe Biden does have control of some things. And the funniest part about that is whenever he asserts that control, he reveals himself to be a really nasty, vindictive human being. And this has come out several times now. The first time was, you remember when Joe Biden, everyone remembers when Joe Biden gave that very, very dark speech. It was at night. It was a dark backdrop with kind of the red lights in the background and the Marines in the background. And that was the night where he got up and, look, I've never heard a speech like this. No one's ever heard a speech like this from an American president talking like this.
But first, we must be honest with each other and with ourselves. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
That is a speech no U.S. president has given in the history of the country. And no Democrat, no Republican, no president has ever pointed towards the supporters of the other guy and called them a threat to the country. That has never happened. That was a staggering speech. And afterwards, even our despicable media, they were asking questions about it, right? Wow, that was dark. It didn't land well. Now, they were all trying to couch it in the nicest possible terms, but that thing landed badly. It was really, really poorly received. The American people all were kind of, that's a little too much. And so what happened from there was we, and maybe I did this too immediately after, we started saying, whose idea was that? And it got even worse the next day, remember, when Corinne Diversity Hire was asked why the Marines were there. It was a political speech. The Marines, the military, should not be present at any political speech. And then she said this. It got even uglier.
The presence of the Marines at the speech was intended to demonstrate the deep and abiding respect the president has for these service members, to these ideals, and the unique role our independent military plays in defending our democracy.
It's bad. So bad the media even asked the next day, hey, why the Marines there? Well, I found out through a source. You remember I told you this on the radio. I think it was a week or two after that fact. I found out through a source that the vile little commies around Joe Biden knew that a speech like that, a national primetime speech like that, would do more harm than good to him. And they did everything they could to stop him. And they did stop him for a couple months, if I remember right. It was weeks. I know it was weeks. Joe Biden was dying to give this speech. Hey, let me just trash half the country. And his staffers were all, no, let's not do that, Joe. And finally, it was Joe Biden who got his way and gave the speech. Which brings us to that last one, which was so bad. The special counsel report comes out. And even though there were no charges in it, it was a really, really bad report for the White House. The report said, yes, he's a criminal, but he's a criminal who's too old and decrepit to actually stand trial. In fact, he's not even really competent to stand trial. A jury would never even convict somebody who's so sad and broken down. And so the special counsel report looked terrible. It was awful. Well, then Joe Biden does a press conference that night. And remember how blown away we were? You were? We all were? About not only did he do a press conference, he did something that I don't think he has done a single other time in his presidency. He took live, unscripted questions from the media. And of course, it went poorly because Joe Biden, at his heart, at his soul, is not a kindly old man. He's a jerk. He's a butthead. He has been to everybody for the longest time. He ends up shouting at reporters, that's your judgment. Remember, he starts yelling at him and it gets uncomfortable. Well, surprise, surprise. We find out today, it's courtesy of the Washington Times, It was Joe Biden's idea. The media, once again, or not the media, his staff, once again, tried to hold Joe back from being Joe. And Joe Biden, as president, overruled them and did that to himself. Now you're starting to understand just how poor this guy's instincts are. All right, let's talk about the dog and January 6th and the pipe bomb. First, I'm about to bomb you with a sale. I don't know what, Chris, and MyPillow is having a big sale. What? It's a bomb of a sale. Anyway, get a mattress toppers, free shipping. MyPillow 2.0s, flannel sheets. Slept 10 hours last night, tucked into my MyPillow 2.0 pillow and my MyPillow flannel sheets, and everything has free shipping right now on top of the big sales. We're talking 50% off these MyPillows. Six-piece towel sets, hugely discounted. Flannel sheets, 50% off. Man, now is the time. Take advantage when you don't have to pay for shipping. Shipping costs are back-breaking anymore. Half the time, you pay as much for shipping as you do the item. Not right now at MyPillow. You have to go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Remember, free shipping. Take advantage of it. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the entire thing, and you should. iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes, maybe your local affiliate cuts the show off or something like that. Just go download the podcast. Enjoy listening at your leisure, Chris. Remember, whenever you say leisure, you sound smarter than other people. And that's always the goal. Make yourself look and sound smarter than others so you can talk down to people. Like I've said many, many times. All right, let's focus on something. And it's something we have talked about briefly a couple times before on the show, but man, this story gets creepier and creepier, and maybe creepy isn't even a right word for it. Ominous is probably a more appropriate word for it. The pipe bombs. You remember the pipe bombs on January 6th? Most people do. In case you don't, January 6th happens, and on top of everything else that happened that day,
We are treated to headline after headline after headline about the pipe bombs. There's a pipe bomber out there. And of course, the media treats it like there's some MAGA pipe bomber. It's definitely a Trump guy who had left a pipe bomb, allegedly, at the DNC and the RNC. Okay? Now, I've already told you about some of what you're about to hear here in a moment, but I want to make sure I remind you. Where were you yesterday? You know, pause on that. Where were you yesterday around noon? What were you doing? It doesn't matter. You don't have to tell me, but do you remember at least roughly where you were? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, please hear me on this. If your cell phone was with you where you were yesterday at noon, that the United States government, in coordination with some big corporations here in the country, they can simply dig in and find out exactly where you were. I'm talking to the inch where you were yesterday. If you were walking, they'll know it. If you were driving, they would know it. I don't mean present. They can only monitor it now. I mean yesterday. It's called geolocating. They're geolocating your cell phone signal. You understand that? So obviously, when someone is allegedly putting some bombs out, you would try to find the geolocation data, right? All right. Now, you know what? I actually think that might be beneficial to play that if you have that as well, Chris. It's a little long, but before I play the newest stuff about January 6th, I want to play this interview I've played a long time ago. It's a guy named Brett Larson. He was on Tucker Carlson's show when Tucker had a show on Fox News. This is a little long, but I needed this. It was such an eye-opener for me. So I want you to listen to this. Listen to the tracking device you keep in your pocket.
We know that Google is tracking us. We agree to it when we set up our phones. So we wanted to figure out what exactly Google is learning about us throughout the day. So here's what we're going to do. We have two identical phones. The only difference between these two phones is this one is in airplane mode. Both of the phones lack a SIM card, and they haven't been set up to access any Wi-Fi networks. So for all intents and purposes, these phones have no connection to a data network. We're going to keep them with us throughout the day. And while I travel around DC, we're going to figure out just what Google is finding out about me.
To run our test, we had to do more than walk the block. So we took a tour around our nation's capital. First, due north to the Children's National Medical Center Hospital, then west to St. Albans School and the National Cathedral. Our tour around town was a 14-mile journey that lasted more than an hour. The entire time, the phones had no access to the internet, not a Wi-Fi connection, and not any cellular data service. Google's business model is simple. Collect data on its users and then use that data to sell targeted ads. It's a business model called surveillance capitalism. But does that critical data collection work even when your phones aren't connected?
So we're back here at our Fox Bureau in DC, and we've got both of our phones exactly how we left with them. So let's find out what they know. This is our man-in-the-middle device. It's basically a Wi-Fi network that these phones are going to connect to once we turn their Wi-Fi on. It's going to pass data through it on the way to Google. But on the way, we're actually going to get a copy of the same data that Google's going to get. We'll be able to decrypt it and then find out where we've been throughout the day.
Within minutes, the numbers rolled in. The phone that wasn't on airplane mode registered more than 100 locations, 130 activities, and even 152 barometric readings. As soon as it hooked up to our Wi-Fi, it transmitted 300 kilobytes of data straight to Google. The phone even logged our exact locations, tracking us all around town, the Capitol, the hospital, the school, and the cathedral. The metadata has a time log down to the very second, tracking everything when they think that you're walking, riding, and yes, even getting out of the car. The phone with airplane mode activated actually logged more locations and activities than the other phone, transferred hundreds.
That, you get the idea. So sorry to go from one long one to another, but I want to play for you Representative Thomas Massey, one of the good people in the House. I interviewed him on my TV show. You know, I have a TV show every night called I'm Right, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the First TV. I want you to listen to his conversation, his little monologue here about the January 6th pipe bomber and why the federal government can't find him.
Well, I asked Stephen D'Antuono, the assistant director of the FBI in charge of the D.C. field office, you know, did you use geolocation of the cell phone data to find out who that suspect is? And he said, I don't want to cause any conspiracy theories, but the data was corrupted. That's one of the oddities. The other thing is, if that suspect that's on the screen there actually planted those bombs, it was 17 hours before they were.
I'm not going to let him keep going, so I have other things I want to talk about. The data was corrupted. I first learned about this through journalist Darren Beatty. I want to make sure he gets credit for Revolver as his news outlet, but Darren Beatty was the one who first told me about that. The data was corrupted. The data was corrupted. The data was corrupted. The FBI has been rounding up January 6 protesters by the thousand for 3 years, based mostly on the geolocation data from the cell phones they had when they were there, walking through the Capitol on the outside. And the one they need the most, you would think, the guy who left the bombs there, they can't access the data. The data was corrupted. And not only that, Massey goes on in that interview to talk about how the pipe bombs had 60-minute timers on them. 60-minute timers for pipe bombs that were allegedly left the night before and weren't discovered. How exactly does that work? Oh, and the latest, and this is from my friend Julie Kelly on her Substack called Declassified. There was a bomb-sniffing dog that performed a search. This is all on camera now. It was Julie Kelly. I want to make sure she gets credit for combing through all the video. A bomb-sniffing dog outside of the DNC strolls right by the pipe bomb several times without getting a hit on it. And I need you to understand that's not something that would happen. One of these dogs may give you a false hit. He's not going to stroll by an active pipe bomb with explosives in it and miss it. That is not how these dogs work. And so that begs the question, doesn't it? Who placed the bombs there? When were the bombs placed there? Were they actually bombs? Remember, we have FBI whistleblowers who come out, who have now since come out and said that they were told these bombs were not actually bombs. They were essentially toys sitting there inactive. So if we had a bunch of fake pipe bombs planted that were never intended to go off at all, a bomb-sniffing dog couldn't even find them, and the cell phone, the geolocation data for the guy who placed the pipe bombs has been corrupted by some major power of some kind, because it would take a major power. A nation state like ours or a couple big corporations could probably do it. What does it mean if they put up fake pipe bombs in D.C.? Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, speaking of cell phone companies, do I need to remind you how America's biggest cell phone companies operated in the wake of January 6th? How more than willing they were to hand you over for nothing? Aren't you tired of supporting these companies that hate you? Especially when it comes to your cell phone. Think about this. Think about everything that's on there. Everything you do with it. Think about how much of your privacy is filtered through your phone. Do you think it would be a good idea to switch to a company that actually has your best interest at heart? Or do you think you should stay with Verizon? Switch to Pure Talk now. It's time to start isolating ourselves to create the parallel economy with our money. We have to. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Now's the time. Switch to Pure Talk. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. All right, back to what we were talking about the bomb-sniffing dog outside of the DNC January 6th. Misses the, quote, bomb, if we're still calling it that. We have an FBI whistleblower who said they weren't bombs. All this begs the question. The corrupted cell phone data. Who can corrupt cell phone data? And why would you want to? And I think we all know what we're thinking here, right? I know what I'm thinking. I think the United States government or one of its entities placed some fake pipe bombs outside of the DNC and RNC to elevate the threat of those MAGA Republicans and do more to justify hunting down January 6 people like dogs for 3 years. You see, just that little spicy protest wasn't enough. They needed something that captured the imagination more. They needed something that caused more fear. And what does that more than a bomb? A bomb is uniquely terrifying, right? Could be anywhere. Pipe bomb. My goodness, is there one under your chair right now? It's looking more and more like the United States government ran an operation against its own citizens so the federal law enforcement arm can track down the enemies of the Democrat Party and arrest them. And if you have a better explanation, I'm all ears. But the problem with your better explanation is a lot of what I just said can't really be refuted. You know what? I cut him off earlier. I shouldn't have. I should let the whole thing play. I'm going to let it all play. Here's Representative Thomas Massie. Don't just pay attention to the first part. Take all this in, and this is not from me. It's a United States congressman.
Well, I asked Stephen D'Antuono, the assistant director of the FBI in charge of the D.C. field office, you know, did you use geolocation of the cell phone data to find out who that suspect is? And he said, I don't want to cause any conspiracy theories, but the data was corrupted.
That was the FBI agent in charge telling a United States congressman the data was corrupted.
That's one of the oddities. The other thing is, if that suspect that's on the screen there actually planted those bombs, it was 17 hours before they were discovered, and they had 60-minute kitchen timers on them. I've asked the FBI, how in the world does a 60-minute kitchen timer set off a bomb 17 hours later? And they say two things at the same time, which can't both be true. The person who discovered the second pipe bomb was a plainclothes police officer. That person with the backpack went up to those cruisers, as I suspected, but just confirmed yesterday, and told them, hey, there's a bomb over here. But it's like they finish their lunch before they get out of the car and come over.
They finish their lunch. I'll let them finish.
Over. You know, you have to show it and fast forward to make it look like there's even half a sense of urgency.
Plainclothes police officer approaches a vehicle. Hey, guys, there's a pipe bomb over here. Keep in mind, this is outside of the DNC where Vice President Dome Harris was at the time. Therefore, you'd have a seriously, seriously upgraded threat level. It would take nothing to get handcuffs thrown on you when the vice president is in the vicinity. A plainclothes police officer walked up and said, there's a pipe bomb over here. And the two gentlemen in the Secret Service vehicle finished their lunches before they got out to examine the pipe bomb. This is getting harder and harder to excuse, isn't it? Getting harder and harder to explain. Unless the federal government was involved. All right, I have to do this one real quick. I've been talking about it. New York City migrant, moped gang ringleader makes chilling admission about crime network. Quote, it's much bigger than me. Again, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on this. I'll just keep updating everyone on these things as they come in. We were warned. I've been talking about it. Brandon Darby, our border expert, came on the show and warned about it, about the criminal networks that are coming across the border. Not individual criminals. Those are bad enough on their own. There are entire criminal networks who have come across the border. When you bring in 8 million people in 3 years, there are going to be so many seriously ugly elements in there. And now we've always pointed out the cartels in Mexico. Not that they're not operating here in various ways. Look, there's a community here in my area in Houston, one of the suburbs, where the cartel heads for this region, the regional heads, they all live in the same suburbs. Even the ones who are killing each other, and there's kind of an unspoken agreement between them and local law enforcement. No violence here. If there's any violence here, the party ends. But local law enforcement knows where they are. So it's not like the cartels never operated here. But now we have flat out adjusted headquarters for more than just the Mexican cartels. They're all here now. And if you dig into this article at all, you'll find out they're human trafficking now straight out of New York City. It's become headquarters for trafficking. They're showing people pictures of their families back in South America. Hey, this is your mom. We'll cut her head off if you don't pay us the $5,000. And the level of sophistication with these criminals is staggering. The more and more I talk to my law enforcement buddies who are dealing with these guys, they are blown away at how professional these organizations are. I remember talking to one of my buddies on Border Patrol one time. We were talking about the cartels and how they were coming across. And I was just kind of peppering him like, what don't we know? What does a normal person not know? And he said, Jesse, the normal person doesn't understand that they're better equipped than we are. I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, I have to bring my own batteries half the time for my comms. The cartels have comms that are SEAL Team 6 comms, practically. Frightening, isn't it? That's frightening watching all this happen and watching it be enabled by our political class. All right, I have good news. Ready for some good news? Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.